You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is coming up now on 7:36 on this Monday, October 7th. As our state capitol report continues, we will hear from a guest who wants a statewide referendum on whether the U.S. Constitution should be amended to overturn the Citizens United decision regarding campaign contributions. And we will welcome your input on that question, too. Do you think there ought to be a statewide referendum on amending the U.S. Constitution when it comes to Citizens United? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we will also talk about a rally that is being planned for tomorrow at the state capitol to stop what our guest and other critics are calling the next Citizens United. The U.S. Supreme Court is going to be taking up a case tomorrow, hearing a case tomorrow, and we'll talk about that as well. Bruce Spade is our guest, director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or Wisberg Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I know that the rally is being held by a coalition called Money Out, Voters In. What exactly is that all about?
Yeah, well, the Money Out, Voters In coalition is made up of 35 community organizations from all over Wisconsin, and we represent over 20,000 Wisconsinites who have called on our state legislature to let the people decide and let us have a say on the future of our democracy, specifically by holding a referendum on the Citizens United decision. And in order to have a statewide referendum, we need the legislature and governor to approve that. Mm-hmm. So it's Assembly Joint Resolution 50. We're calling on them to let us have a say in the future of our democracy and bring that referendum to the people in November 2014.
Yeah, so what would generally this referendum question say?
Well, the question in essence is whether or not we the people direct our elected representatives in Congress to support a constitutional amendment to overturn the Citizens United decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. And, you know, of course, the concern here is just the flood of money that is pouring into our political process, particularly big money. So large contributions from a very small number of people. And it really raises the question, do we have democracy of, by, and for the people, or do we have democracy of, by, and for wealthy interests? And increasingly, the latter is the case, where a very small number of people have a huge voice in our process because they're able to give large sums of money. And Citizens United kind of blew a hole in our kind of fundraising laws, allowing corporations and wealthy individuals to give unlimited kind of donations in the form of independent expenditures, so kind of outside spending, so not directly to candidates and campaigns. But of course, we know really there's not much difference between the two these days.
Yeah. So the Citizens United case dealt with corporations, with and with unions too, right?
That's correct.
And larger organizations. What is this next Citizens United case that's being heard tomorrow all about?
Yeah, it's the McCutcheon versus Federal Elections Commission case, and the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments tomorrow on October 8th. And what this case is doing is challenging the aggregate campaign contribution limits. So the aggregate limits are the total, or the aggregate limit is the total amount that any one individual can give to all candidates, campaign committees, and political parties in any given election cycle. And right now that limit is $123,000. So it's challenging that on the grounds that it is limiting the speech of Sean McCutcheon, an Alabama millionaire, who is, you know, arguing that he should be able to give unlimited amounts to candidates, campaigns, and political parties, or campaign committees, rather, and political parties. And, of course, the concern here is that while Citizens United kind of blew open outside spending, and we've seen enormous sums of money spent on elections in kind of independent expenditures, outside spending, the concern is that this would do the same for direct contributions.
Mm-hmm. So what is wrong with having unlimited direct contributions or unlimited outside spending in elections?
Well, you know, the real concern is that, you know, we've seen this happening over a number of decades where a smaller and smaller number of people have a disproportionate voice in our political process. So the concern is less that there is money in politics, but the fact that there is more big money, and so a very small number of people that have a huge voice in our political process. So just to put this in perspective, in the November 2012 election, just 32 mega donors to super PACs gave as much as all 3.9 million grassroots donors to both the Romney and Obama campaigns. So these 32 mega donors are speaking at 115, if money is speech, then they're speaking at 115,000 times the volume of those other grassroots donors. So again, the concern is that we have a very small number of people who have a huge voice and a disproportionate influence on our democracy. And, you know, I've always thought of democracy as being of, by, and for the people, not of, by, and for the few wealthy interests who can spin unlimited amounts of money. And I think it really calls into question, you know, it creates the appearance of corruption and concerns that a small number of people are able to influence public policy because they have a lot of money.
So your rally at the state capitol tomorrow will coincide with the U.S. Supreme Court hearing this direct contribution case, which you're calling the next Citizens United, and it is to encourage the state legislature to pass and then place on the ballot some sort of referendum on Citizens United.
That's correct. Yeah, it's Assembly Joint Resolution 50 that has been introduced in the state legislature this session, and so the rally tomorrow is to urge the Supreme Court not to continue this kind of downward slide of allowing a few wealthy donors to have a bigger voice in our democracy and to call attention to that, and at the same time urge our state leaders to bring this referendum to the people. They don't have to. We're not asking them to take a position on Citizens United by approving this referendum, but rather to let the people speak and let the people kind of weigh in on the future of our democracy. You know, and from talking to, you know, thousands of people out there through the work of our coalition, we know that there is real concern about the future of our democracy. And, you know, do we want a democracy where 32 mega donors speak at 115,000 times the volume of the average grassroots donor to a campaign? So, so that the focus of our rally is getting the legislature to act and bring this referendum to the people in November 2014.
What sort of reaction have you received from the Republican-controlled legislature?
Well, we had, when we introduced the resolution this summer in July, we had 35 bipartisan co-sponsors sign on, but we have not had a hearing on the bill yet, and we're calling on Representative August, who chairs the committee that this resolution is before, to hold a hearing on the bill. You know, and thus far, there's been no action on it, and that's another part of why we're having the rally tomorrow, is to, you know, really send a message that, you know, this is an important issue. It's about the future of our democracy, and the people deserve to have a say in that. So let the people weigh in and bring this resolution, this referendum forward by approving Assembly Joint Resolution 50.
We are talking with Bruce Spaight. He is director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group Foundation, talking about the effort to have a statewide referendum on the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision. And we're welcoming your questions, your views. What's your take on Citizens United? What about this case that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear tomorrow, which is being called the next Citizens United? Would you like to have a referendum question placed on the Wisconsin ballot that would lead to the overturning of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, or some sort of legislation that would would overturn that decision. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, about 13 minutes before 8 o'clock now on this Monday, October the 7th. We are talking with a guest who wants a statewide referendum on whether you think the U.S. Constitution should be amended to overturn the Citizens United decision regarding campaign contributions. There's also a rally planned for tomorrow at the state capitol to stop what critics are calling the next Citizens United. By the way, we will be talking with a Supreme Court scholar tomorrow during this hour about what the Supreme Court is taking up this session, including this McCutcheon case. We'll be talking with the author of In the Balance coming up tomorrow between 7 and 8. Right now we're talking with Bruce Spate, who is the director of the Wisberg Foundation. And our first caller is Gary in Ripon. Hi, Gary.
Hello. My question for the guest is, why does he feel that the voters should not be allowed to hear what moneyed people and corporations have to say?
Yeah, well, Gary, that's a great question. I mean, the idea here isn't to silence people and not let them have a say. In fact, quite the opposite. We want the people to have a say, but the concern, and certainly anyone of any income level, as I've always understood our democracy to be, is about everyone having a say. This principle of one person, one vote. The concern is when you have a very small number of people who have a huge voice in our political process, and the vast majority of people who have very little say relative to that. And, you know, I mentioned before that 32 mega donors spoke, or rather spent as much as 3.7 million grassroots donors. Also, regarding this case, McCutcheon and the aggregate campaign limit in the 2012 election, there were just over 1,200 people who gave to that aggregate limit. So again, this is an incredibly small number of people who are able to give enormous amounts of money, and you know the average person isn't able to do that. So what's the access of the average person, the ability of the average person to have a say in our democracy and influence what happens in our state capitals and in Congress versus those mega donors who give so much money? And that's what we're trying to do here is make sure that there's kind of equity in our democracy, and that, you know, it's truly a system that represents the people, all the people, regardless of their income level and their ability to contribute to campaigns.
So you're saying that wealthy people and corporations would still have the right to speak with their dollars, but there'd be a limit placed on it?
That's correct. Well, you know, right now there's an aggregate limit, and you know, I'd argue that that's already, you know, too high. I mean, how many people, after all, just over 1,200 in the 2012 election were giving to that limit? The overwhelming majority of people, that's not even an option to give $123,000 to different candidates and campaigns. So, yes, the point here is that everyone should be able to we're certainly not saying there should be no money in politics, and I think that's an important distinction here. The point is to say that when you have a small number of people who are able to speak at a much higher volume because of the resources and money they're able to contribute to campaigns, that creates a problem for our democracy. So making sure that, you know, we truly have a system that's one person, one vote, and represents all the people, not just mega donors.
And I'm going to ask you to spell it out, though. What is the problem with a wealthy person or corporation spending money on campaigns to presumably elect politicians that are like-minded? Why is that a big problem for democracy? What's wrong with the public policy that results from that?
Well, again, you know, we're not saying they can't give at all, but, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld campaign contribution limits based on the concern that it creates an appearance of corruption if we were to have unlimited giving to candidates and to parties and campaign committees. The concern being that, you know, if you have a small number of people who are able to give unlimited amounts of money, and presumably then it might be that really our democracy represents them, since, you know, we know that elected officials ultimately are paying the most attention to their donors. And so if they can just court those who have a lot of money to stay in office, then are they really representing all the people, or are they only representing and listening to those that are giving them large contributions? And so there are a number of ways to address this. One would be to have a public financing system. Another would be to incentivize small donors. In fact, I believe the caller that just called in was from Ripon, which is in Tom Petri's district. Congressman Petri, a Republican, has proposed a bill in Congress that would give a tax credit for contributions of up to $50. So the idea is to incentivize small donors. And, you know, and we think, you know, it's important that people, I'd argue it's a triumph of democracy if we had millions of people giving $50 or $100. But when we have a system where 32 mega donors give as much as 3.7 million grassroots donors, it seems that our system is really representing those that have tremendous resources and can give lots of money versus the average person. So that's what we're working to address here, is to stop the kind of disproportionate influence of mega donors and make sure that we truly have a democracy that's of, by, and for the people.
Tom in Wausau emails, not only should the United case be made null and void by referendum, but such referendum should also provide campaign contributions only be made to those candidates the donor is qualified to vote for. Following that?
Yeah, or I think, right, so maybe only giving to campaigns or to people who they're, where the candidate would be representing mm-hmm. them. Yeah, well, we haven't actually taken a position that you can only give to those elected officials that, you know, if they won, would represent you. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but, you know, I think really the larger issue here would just be that, you know, that we have limits that enable all of us to have, you know, a voice in our democracy and not a system that's just, you know, kind of opening the floodgates for a small number of people to give enormous amounts of money and have that kind of disproportionate voice in our democracy.
Next, we go to Al in Appleton. Hello, Al.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I support the referendum, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. I assume that you have opponents, and of course some of those opponents would be intelligent people. Could you represent what your intelligent opponents would state their case as?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that, you know, one of the arguments is similar to what Gary, the first caller, was getting at, this idea that money is speech. And so if we put limits on the money going to campaigns, then we're limiting speech. And we reject, obviously, that notion, in that, you know, we're not arguing that, again, you can't give any money to campaigns, and that, you know, there should be no money in politics. It's more the point that, you know, as I've already said, right, that we have a small number of people who have a much larger voice. I mean, if you fully subscribe to that notion, then, you know, again, these 32 mega donors are speaking at 115,000 times the volume of the 3.7 million grassroots donors. So, and each of those 32 mega donors was giving on average $9.9 million apiece. So, you know, who are elected officials going to reach out to and listen to, you know, the average voter or those that can give them the money to make sure that, you know, they have the resources to stay in office? I mean, I think that's the concern, too, is that we have a system now that is in some ways an incumbency protection system. A lot of the elected leaders like things the way they are, and even, you know, often are more than willing to subscribe to, you know, the notion that, yeah, you know, we've got now more outside spending coming into our political process thanks to Citizens United. So why not, you know, also increase the amount of money coming to, you know, directly to candidates and campaigns? And you have this system then where, you know, say you or I wanted to run for office, it'd be really difficult if we have to compete against someone who already has a network of wealthy donors that, you know, easily enables them to, you know, get their message out there. And I think that's what we're seeing is a elected body that increasingly either is wealthy themselves or has a network of donors who can enable them to get into office. You don't see many kind of average working class folks who are running for office these days, because you need to have that base of people to have any shot at getting elected. So who then do our elected officials represent? We the people, or the wealthy donors who enable them to get into office? That's really what we're working to change and make sure, again, we have a democracy that's of, by, and for the people.
Jan in Appleton emails, it seems that many of the opponents of Citizens United, mainly on the left, want to bash those, in quotes, evil corporations and the Koch brothers, but never seem to bring themselves to bash their fellow liberals in labor unions, who have also engaged in giving unlimited amounts of money to Democratic candidates. Why doesn't it balance out, Bruce Spaight?
Well, actually, we are for addressing all of that. I mean, the point is, we're not trying to create exceptions for anyone. We're instead trying to make sure that, you know, again, it's one person, one vote, a democracy that represents the people. And so when you are, allowing wealthy individuals, unions, corporations, anyone on the left or the right to give enormous sums of money, then that's what, or God forbid, unlimited amounts of money, which is what we've seen with outside spending in the wake of Citizens United.
Hey, Southern Wisconsin, this is Philip Anich from Tent Show Radio.
I don't know what that was. I apologize.
No problem.
We have 30 seconds.
Sure. Well, so then, we've seen it happen with outside spending. This case, the McCutcheon case, threatens that for direct kind of campaign contributions to candidates and parties. So that's where we're saying this could be the next Citizens United. It's only going to open the floodgates to more money from wealthy donors, be they corporations, unions, or otherwise. We want to make sure that instead, we really do have a democracy that represents all of us and not just those wealthy donors, no matter what their political leanings are.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us. Bruce Spaight is the director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Group Foundation. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.